Welcome. Today, Brianna, founder of Evento and Hack for Freedom, shares how she's making Bitcoin events accessible, building open source tools, and empowering women builders across the globe. Let's dive in. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you enjoy the content we're producing, please remember to share, leave us a comment, and provide some feedback, as this all helps us grow organically. Thank you.
This isn't for everyone. It's for the ones who know the old system is broken and are ready to build something that lasts. Welcome to the Build with Bitcoin podcast.
I'm co-host Israel Munoz, joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Today we have the pleasure of welcoming Brianna, founder of Evento and Hack for Freedom, two projects with the strong foundation of open source and freedom technology. So those are the topics we'll be delving into today. But first of all, welcome, Brianna. Happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for our conversation.
Well, before we get into everything that we need to cover, we'd love to get a little bit into your background, Brianna, you know, as much or little as you'd like to share, and what got you to Bitcoin and eventually to founding Evento, Hack for Freedom, maybe even high level of what they are as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm Brianna, and I am first and foremost a Bitcoiner. I have been a Bitcoiner probably since around 2016 when I got my first sats. I discovered it in college, actually, from my ex-boyfriend who told me I would never understand it. And so I made it my whole personality. But I actually, you know, out of that, I really dug deep into what Bitcoin is. I've always been very passionate about human rights and making the world a better place. You know, I went to Berkeley. I was a social rights activist. Animal rights activists. I was out there protesting all the times. For me, it was always about like how, you know, in what way could I have a positive impact on this very sad world? You know, there's a lot of pain in the world. And I've been so privileged to be born in a place where I have, you know, basic human rights and even more. And with that privilege, I could just sit around and do nothing, or I could do something that helps people who don't have that. When I discovered Bitcoin, I saw it as an incredible tool that could potentially equalize a lot of things in this world, because at the core of inequality is, you know, financial inequality and financial oppression around the world. And if you finally have a tool that, you know, can put everyone on the same level, that's pretty extraordinary. So when I started digging deeper into it and I got my first Bitcoin, which was pretty complicated, it took like a week to receive my Bitcoin. I was freaking out the whole time, and the wallets were really weird and confusing. And I'm not a developer or a technical person. So for me, it was like navigating this whole world by myself for the first time. And I was like, did I just lose all my money? I don't know. But when the sats arrived and I realized that, you know, I started off with a self-custodial wallet. I realized no one can take this money away from me. It's mine. And, you know, insofar as I don't lose my keys, like I can always have access to it no matter where I am in the world. And to me, I instantly understood the power of that, right? However, I was, you know, it was very obvious that it wasn't really usable for everyday purchases or everyday usage because, one, it was really complicated, and two, it was really slow and expensive to transfer value. So I was like, this is really cool. It has a lot of potential. But I'm not sure. You know, followed Bitcoin quite a bit. A lot of the development was very interesting to me. But what really, you know, kind of was the aha moment for me was when I discovered Lightning. And I made my first Lightning payment to actually a bartender, like my favorite bar. And I was like, I want to tip you in Bitcoin. Download this wallet called Sphinx Chat, which is an amazing wallet. It was like a, you know, there's messaging and stuff in it. You can transfer sats like via DM, and it was just like the coolest thing I had ever seen in Bitcoin. And I was able to tip him in Bitcoin. And every time I went to the bar, I did that. And I was like, oh my God, this has so much potential. If I can onboard my bartender who knows nothing about Bitcoin to Bitcoin, this is pretty revolutionary. And he's getting the money instantly. So I started to dive deeper into that world. And then kind of started to talk about Bitcoin on social media during COVID. And at that point, I really wanted to, you know, actually work in the space, but I'm not a developer. And for me, I thought, well, this is a technical thing. This is tech, right? I don't know how I can add value to this industry. Little did I know, you know, I was 24 when I got my first job in Bitcoin, but you know, you need all types of people, right? In any industry. And I was very fortunate to, you know, my first job was at Lightning Labs. I was chief of staff to the CEO, and that was just such an incredible experience getting to actually work with the people who, you know, wrote the first lines of code for Lightning, just the most brilliant people I've ever met. And just having the honor, you know, to learn so much from that team and from everyone there, it was just awesome. And I really understood the complexity of Lightning at that point. It's very complex. It was my first time interacting with code and development and like that whole world. And from there, I was like, all right, this is it. This is the technology I want to focus on. You know, for the past 5 years, I worked at another company called Noah, also chief of staff there. It was a mobile app that was focused on remittances, and then wanted to kind of switch over to more of the brand development side of things. Because I'm also a brand designer, an artist. I love all of that stuff. And so I started working for Primal, which is, you know, pretty much like the biggest Nostr client. I can go into Nostr in a second. And, you know, my husband, Andre, he was, you know, one of the builders of Nostr with Via Jeff. And so I was introduced to it very early on. He announced Nostr at TabConf, which is my conference that I help organize. It was like really exciting for us when Jack Dorsey tweeted about it and it kind of exploded. And yeah, so very involved in that in the beginning. It had so much potential. And then from there, I went to CBD, where I was the vice president of branding. And it was really fun because at that point, they had CBD Social built into their app. And so Nostr was a big part of the company. And so we did a lot of things to make it really fun and accessible to folks. And after CBD, I realized, you know, I had learned a lot working for all these different amazing companies and these very, very talented people. And I realized I wanted to start my own company in this space. A lot of challenges doing that for the first time, but it's been a really, really incredible journey working on Evento, which is a social events platform with Bitcoin built into its core. And it's all not for profit. The whole point of Evento is to empower communities around the world, especially Bitcoin communities, which is, you know, my passion, to organize freely and to have incredible tools and resources to make their events great, and just to connect the entire Bitcoin community around the world. It's just so incredible. But everything is so fragmented and the tools that exist are very expensive and none of them have Bitcoin built in. And I just think that's just such low-hanging fruit, right? Bitcoin and events. And so I started Evento in 2023 and have, you know, been building since then. Last year was a pretty pivotal year for us because we got a Human Rights Foundation Bitcoin development grant, and that really changed the game. I got to work with such incredible people in the industry to make, to bring Evento to all of these events around the world. And from there, I realized, like, and this was something that I've been really thinking about my entire Bitcoin journey and working in the industry, is that there are so few women building companies. There are so few women building on all of the infrastructure and these protocols when, you know, the majority of the world's unbanked, the most financially pressed people in the world are women. And it's, you know, I've really bonded with all of the women in the industry where there are not many of us. And after a while, I just decided, like, I have to do something about this. You know, I have to try something. Not many people are creating many opportunities specifically for women. And so I started Hack for Freedom, which is a boot camp, a 2-week boot camp and hackathon for women in the Global South who are developers to essentially build their first Bitcoin products. Also other freedom technologies like Nostr and eCash. And to essentially kickstart their careers in Bitcoin. So we did our first hackathon in Kaduna, Nigeria, which is a northern state in Nigeria. Surprisingly, we were able to get 20 female developers who had never touched Bitcoin before, and they shipped 8 open source projects at the end of it. And most of them are now pursuing careers in Bitcoin and working in open source development. So I would say that's a very, very, I would say that's pretty successful in my book, even if one of them wanted to work in Bitcoin afterwards. And so this year, we've decided to expand to 5 other cities across Africa and Brazil. So Lagos, Nairobi, Portocor, and then Belo and Sao Paulo. So very, very exciting. I'm hoping to get 100 new female Bitcoin developers. So we'll see how that goes. Also, since 2021, I've been helping out at TabConf to organize this amazing Bitcoin developer conference. And it's the biggest one in the world. It brings, all the core developers, some of the best, the best in the industry. Another space where I realized there are no women here at all. Like, this is only dudes. That's a problem. So yeah, it's just been such a privilege. And, I've learned a lot about events from organizing this conference over the years. So all of this kind of like meshes together, into essentially, doing the best I can for Bitcoin, right? With my skills that I have.
Brianna, I love this story. And we're going to go a lot deeper into both Evento and Hack for Freedom. But I want to kind of circle back on and highlight two things that you said. One is that, usability, your early experiences and how challenging it was. And I had that same usability challenge in 2013 when I first purchased, and how you go about it. And if you're not tied into the network, if you just learn about Bitcoin, that initial experience is a challenging one. And so you had the usability that shifted with Lightning. And then you also had this perspective as you joined Bitcoin companies, that coming from it from a user standpoint, from a creative standpoint, from a non-technical standpoint, I think is we need more of that perspective in Bitcoin companies and building with Bitcoin. But how did you interact with the different development teams? I know you were chief of staff, but surely you had a lot of interaction. Did you have the opportunity to share your advice and your perspective to how to make that product better and the usability of it better in those different roles that you had?
Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. At Lightning Labs, I worked a lot with the engineering team, mostly in terms of like project managing things and streamlining like operational processes, which is like what a chief of staff does, right? Kind of just like go into the different parts of the business that need some help, and then you move on to the other thing. But at Noah, I was very, very much involved in engineering and product for the first time since we were building a consumer product, right? And I was also in charge of the branding team there. So kind of figuring out how do we make Bitcoin friendly for people who have never used it before, since the focus was on folks in the Global South using it for remittances. And that was really fun because from my perspective, again, I'm not like a technical person. I've onboarded a lot of like non-Bitcoiners to Bitcoin. And so I know where their pain points are, specifically around language. That's kind of scary, right? And so, yeah, lots of product testing, lots of experimentation with the brand and, how it reaches people, gamifying the Bitcoin experience a lot so that it's fun, especially for young people. Changing the visual, I think also visuals are very important because a lot of Bitcoin apps and products, they're very, they're built by developers, probably for developers, right? Because these are not people who, they're very smart people and amazing engineers, but not necessarily people who are in touch with the non-technical end user. Right. So the visual language is really important, softer colors, not so dark, buttons that are a lot more intuitive. These are things that like you really have to think about. What does the button have on it? Right. You do two different like button testings, like which one do people click on or which one, so there's all of these things that you really have to think about when you're building a product for
everybody.
Yeah, for everyone, which everyone is a normie, right? Like there's not that many people who actually understand software development. It's very complicated. And I certainly wouldn't if I wasn't, kind of thrown into these companies. And then, in the same vein with Primal, in the beginning of Nostr, it was like, how do we make a cool Nostr client? And that's where I came in to make it cool, to make it fun. And so, you know, we had this idea of having this like exclusive, like primal username. It's like URL that you would have like as an identifier. And I started just reaching out to everyone I knew in Bitcoin. And I was like, hey, I'm going to give you a custom URL if you like, you know, if you start using Primal. And then it just like totally blew up and everyone started having one. And now it's just like, you know, it's a normal thing to have one. So that was really cool. You know, for me, it's always about like, I know that Bitcoin doesn't have the best marketing team. And so for a lot of folks, it's not very cool. It's not very like hip or, you know, it's just, it's kind of boring and devy, right? So me coming in, I really saw that gap. And I think that a really big part of bringing Bitcoin to the whole world is making it cool, right? And we did the same thing as EBD. Let's make it fun, right? They're Bitcoin and games. Like that's just super easy to make it a fun experience. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you're describing, Brianna, and that skill set, you know, around branding, design, UX, I think that's still from my point of view, like one of the, or maybe the biggest gap I see in Bitcoin products, as far as at least the peer-to-peer money aspect of Bitcoin. And Lynn knows this, I haven't told you, but I started a remittance company in 2014 for using Bitcoin, right? And what we did was just kind of baking it into the back end because we knew that there was this UX front end usability challenge. Long story short, that didn't work out. But I remember just listening to you now. I mean, I remember thinking a lot back then, wow, like really? So what we were trying to do is reduce the 7% or so global cost of remitting money across borders for people who that 7% had a huge impact on, right? So that was kind of our goal back then, was we know this can be done cheaper. And so that's what we tried to do, again, through the back end. But I remember thinking the entire time, like, wow, like really the big win here is just, it's just, of course, the obvious, right? User A sending Bitcoin to user B in a borderless fashion and truly using it as a peer-to-peer money. But to your points, right? It's been a tough, I guess, journey to get people on board onto Bitcoin as peer-to-peer money because, again, it can be clunky, right? So what I want to get your take on, Brianna, is Evento. You mentioned that one of the very important components of Evento is that you have an integrated Bitcoin and Lightning wallet in the app and the platform. So what's your take on why integrating Bitcoin as peer-to-peer money into the events platform is so important?
Awesome. Yes, this is the thing I am most excited about. It has been, you know, something that we've been working on for a while now. So kind of like going back a little bit, late last year, there was a time to build challenge that was hosted by Breeze. And they have this amazing SDK that makes it possible for anyone to put Bitcoin into their apps very easily, right? And like self-custodial Bitcoin, which was really interesting to me. We were trying to figure out how to put Bitcoin into the app and make it non-custodial and user-friendly and something that we wouldn't have to do tons of heavy lifting on since, you know, dealing with Lightning is just a whole thing. And we didn't want to have to deal with all of those complexities. So as we were figuring this out, I spoke to the founder of Breeze, Roy, and was saying like, what do I do? And he was like, well, just use the SDK. We have a whole challenge. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to do that and see how it goes. And we were able to build that Bitcoin wallet into Evento in a month. And we won the challenge, which was really cool. And then we beta tested it in Mauritius at the Africa Bitcoin Conference, BTrust Developer Day. We had a whole Evento booth. And I work with this amazing developer, D++, on this Mario Kart game where you earn Bitcoin playing Mario Kart. And we bring it to conferences. And everyone absolutely loves it. So what we did was, for the first time, we set everyone up with their Evento wallet because they all had to like RSVP to the Evento Mario Kart event. And that's how they would be able to earn their sats, was have them stream the sats to their Evento wallet. And everyone absolutely loved it. There were a lot of first time Bitcoiners who had received their first sats playing Mario Kart, which was pretty awesome. And like for me, you know, we onboarded about 80 people to the app in a single day. And it was like totally positive feedback. We then were able to zap every single person on the guest list at that event, which made it so much more fun, right? And this opens up so many opportunities for hosts, for conference organizers, for community organizers to transfer value to their guests, but also for guests to transfer value to the hosts, right? And so putting Bitcoin into Evento is really fundamental for me because, you know, there is a lot of value transfer that happens at events. Obviously, there's ticketing, which is something that we're looking to solve like peer-to-peer. We don't want to be involved in the ticketing. We don't want to take a fee. We want everything to be between the host and the guest, or the guest and the guest, or whatever, because like, I don't want to be like Eventbrite where they take like 5% of your ticket. I want everything to go to the host because they're the ones putting in all of the time and effort to make this happen. It's very prohibitive for a lot of people because they also can't, you know, maybe create a Stripe account, which is required for a lot of folks who do ticket events if they're in a country, you know, that's sanctioned. So then that rules out a lot of people. And the great thing about Bitcoin is that you don't need permission to have a Bitcoin wallet and you don't need permission to make a transaction. And so I wanted to keep that inside of Evento so that anyone could do ticketing. That's coming soon. But that's, you know, kind of a vision for how Bitcoin is integrated into the app. Another thing is zapping. So tipping each other, tipping a host instantly, right? Again, you don't need permission. You don't need to set up a Stripe account or connect your bank account or any of that kind of stuff. You open your wallet or you even have an external wallet and you can tip the host instantly and they get 100% of that, which doesn't exist anywhere else in any other events platform. The other thing was that I really saw an opportunity to Trojan horse Bitcoin into Evento and essentially like, you know, make it a really pleasant first experience and an experience where it's like, for example, you're a host, you have a whole guest list, you're running maybe a BitDevs or a Bitcoin meetup, and you want to introduce Bitcoin to everyone that's going to your event. Well, let's just zap everyone on that guest list. If they don't have a wallet, they'll get a little email that says, hey, I'm trying to send you money, set up your first wallet. And it's like, well, obviously, I'm going to not say no to free money. And it's just a great way to like, you know, get folks engaged even before the event or to say thank you afterwards. And, you know, I think that's just, it's just fun, right? And for me, I want to bring Bitcoin to the average person. And so I'm trying to figure out ways to do that in a fun way and in a low friction, you know, not very scary way. The other piece is crowdfunding. So a lot of community organizers and leaders, they're running these events for free and like on their own dime. And there's a lot of amazing causes that these folks have, but there are no there's no crowdfunding solution that is completely permissionless, peer-to-peer, and feeless that currently exists. And, you know, my husband and I, we were talking about, gosh, how do we do peer-to-peer ticketing? How do we do peer-to-peer crowdfunding? There isn't a way to do that currently. And we were like, well, if there's a gap, we got to figure out a way to fill it and to build it ourselves. And so we came up with this protocol called Lightning Pact, which we're releasing very soon. So this is the first time I'm talking about it. But essentially, it's an open source protocol where any third party can enable verified peer-to-peer commerce transactions. And that's a whole mouthful. Essentially, what it means is that on Evento, a user can create a crowdfunding campaign, right? And then anyone with a Bitcoin wallet can contribute to that crowdfunding campaign. And Evento can verify that that transaction was received by the campaign organizer. And so we can actually not only let the organizer know who paid it, but we can also visually show it on the crowdfunding page. It seems pretty simple, like a pretty simple thing to do, but it simply didn't exist before. The only way to do it was for the third party to know everything about the transaction, which we don't want anything to do with it. It should be peer-to-peer, right? And so those are all of the ways that, you know, I'm envisioning values transferred throughout the app and to so many different communities around the world. There's just like so many like endless possibilities. So yeah, that's, you know, all the ways that Bitcoin is going to be a part of Evento. I'm really excited to see you know, what people actually do with it, right? Sometimes you don't even know. It's just like people like create something new and you're like, whoa, I didn't even imagine that could be possible. So we'll see.
Yeah. As I'm thinking about this and knowing that you were the recipient of a Human Rights Foundation grant for the development fund, I was, you know, I think it's easy for people to grasp, you know, the typical event platforms and the fees that they charge and you organize something. And, you know, I think we've all been to those, whether it's a paid for event like a conference or a free event like a meetup. But there are also ways, like I'm just thinking today in this day and age, I have family in Minneapolis and there were the protests that were going on with ICE involvement in Minneapolis that was, I think, drew international spotlights and people were organizing, but they had to go through permissioned outlets in order to do that. And then also raising funds for specific, you know, food banks and help for people who were challenged by leaving their house or afraid to leave their house. And then you also have other situations going on in the world right now that, you know, you do see the crowdfunding. So you're almost disrupting both ticketing platforms as well as things like GoFundMe that are fundraising for causes by allowing this to be done peer-to-peer instead of a platform that takes a fee and extracts some of the value out of it. And I really love that. And I just would love to dive down a little bit more about what you presented to Human Rights Foundation and the purpose of the grant to get a little bit deeper into that part of Evento's vision.
Yeah. So I wanted to create a platform that was accessible to everyone around the world. You know, financially accessible is a really big one. People, you know, in the US are like, oh, $20 a month, like to host events, that's not a big deal. But if you're in Nigeria, that's like, I'm not doing that. Also, most event platforms don't even work in Nigeria. And so I saw that as like a really big challenge. I know quite a few people who had to stop doing meetups because their platforms were too expensive. So that was one thing. I wanted to make sure that it was accessible financially to everyone. And the other piece was, you know, I am trying to figure out how to make an events platform that does make it possible to organize, right, protests and freedom movements and, you know, essentially also Bitcoin events that have a lot of impact in the human rights space, right? Even just simple Bitcoin meetups in like Kaduna, for example, where we introduce, you know, Evento does an Evento Bitcoin social in Kaduna, actually, where we just introduce Bitcoin through playing games and, you know, very simply to like mothers and their families. We have like a kids area so that moms can come to the meetup. A lot of times they can't go to these things because they have kids and they are the only caretakers, right? So these are the things that I wanted to enable with Evento. Something that we're looking at, which I think is really cool for organizing, is BitChat and the ability to like communicate over Bluetooth, which is really important in a lot of places where there's no internet or, you know, obviously you don't want to be tracked and you have to physically be in that space in order to communicate. We want to put something similar into Evento so that for, you know, folks who are physically at the event, they can communicate pretty safely and securely without any intermediaries. So that's another thing that we're exploring as well. And then for the crowdfunding piece, gosh, this has so many applications. My brother's house burned down during the Palisades fire in LA, and that was pretty devastating. I set up a GoFundMe page, and oh my God, it was such a nightmare to like receive the money, to like connect your bank account, to verify, to do all this like KYC ID verification. It took forever to receive the money. And then on top of that, they took a fee that was pretty significant and took away from my brother being able to rebuild his life. And to me, I just saw that as like absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, there is currently a crowdfunding platform called Geyser Fund that exists for Bitcoin crowdfunding. And I think it's awesome. And I also did a crowdfunding page there for my brother. And actually a lot of Bitcoiners showed up and contributed, which I was really happy to see. But again, it, you know, requires a fee. There's like some KYC involved. And again, I just wanted to remove any sort of barrier in order to receive funds, because let's say you're in a, you know, you're, again, I'm using Nigeria as the example, right? There's not a lot of options for you. And a 3% to 5% fee is quite significant when every dollar counts. So yeah, that's kind of the angle there.
Well, I mean, I love what you're building, Brianna, and you touch on, I think, some clear value propositions on removing that value extraction or the vast part of it. One thing I want to get your take on is there's been a criticism of Bitcoin since as long as I can remember of Bitcoin not being, you know, private enough or not being fungible enough. And I've noticed that's kind of resurfacing lately for whatever reason. But here you are. I mean, you're clearly playing with, you know, these open source freedom technologies, and you're alluding to the fact that there's no KYC required, right? That it's including a lot of these communities around the world that don't have access to these other, you know, kind of gated platforms or gated credit systems, et cetera. I'd just like to get your thoughts around this privacy, open source money component.
So I asked the question, private, like not private enough compared to what? Compared to cash, like literally physical cash. Okay, that's as private as you can get, I guess. But you can't send cash from LA to Lagos, you know, that's kind of sketchy. So, and then with Bitcoin, you don't need to put any of your information like anywhere. If you create a self-custodial wallet, like you literally just like press create wallet, you don't have to put any information. No one has to know who you are or anything, and you can already transfer value. So I don't know how it gets more private than that, other than like physical cash. But yeah, I was just saying, in comparison to what, like the current traditional financial system, banking, that is not private at all. So, and that's currently the other way that you can transfer values. This is as good as it gets, I think.
Well, I was looking precisely for that just simple answer and narrative. I do see a return. And in my mind, I kind of lean towards what you were mentioning, you know, I guess like comparing it to what, you know.
If you buy Bitcoin on an exchange, you obviously have to KYC, but you don't have to buy Bitcoin on an exchange. There are plenty of ways to acquire Bitcoin. One of my good friends, Anna, her company called HODL HODL is awesome. I've used it in order to, you know, exchange Bitcoin for dollars or vice versa. And it's super simple, peer-to-peer, no KYC. And so there's even just acquiring Bitcoin, there's ways to do it without providing your identity or your information.
Yeah, you can also earn it or just exchange it for whatever other value-to-value transaction. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, and Lightning too, that adds a layer above it. So you can choose, I mean, sometimes on-chain can be, I mean, obviously on-chain can be tracked, maybe not to a specific identity, but to a user wallet, but Lightning has a layer above it that there are multiple transactions in one on-chain transaction. So that's another way. And you've got Lightning inside of Evento as well. Just kind of adding on Israel's question about making Evento open source. I mean, talk to us a little bit about your philosophy about open source development and how you view that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of us use open source technology. Most people don't even know it, but like most things that we use are open source. And Bitcoin is open source. Lightning is open source. Nostr is open source. All of these incredible technologies that we all depend on and that really actually change the world are open source. The reason for that is because it's transparent. Anyone can review the code. And so, you know, nothing is like hidden behind a wall where you have to trust someone, right? Trust is a big thing because humans are, you know, we're not the most ethical people. And so you're going to trust like a giant, you know, company that you think is trustworthy, but behind the scenes, they may not be. And that's what makes open source so great, is that you don't have to trust anyone. You do the research yourself and you can see for yourself whether this is, you know, a technology that is, you know, is transparent. And so I think that's a really important piece of open source. My husband, he is a big open source contributor, created the Lightning address, which is used by so many, like pretty much every single Bitcoin company now. And he could have made that proprietary and charge people, but then we wouldn't all be benefiting from that technology, right? And so it's a contribution to the world. It's a contribution to the internet. And the best part is, you know, anyone can use that technology. Anyone can build off of it. Anyone can improve it. And I think that encourages innovation more than anything, you know, more than profit-driven mindset, which would mean you make that software proprietary and closed source. For Evento, we wanted to make sure that folks didn't have to trust that the wallet, the Bitcoin wallet, their money, like, we didn't want people to have to trust that it was self-custodial. We want people to be able to see that their money is actually theirs and that we have nothing to do with it. And the only way to communicate that to folks is to make it open source. So for us, making the Evento client open source was a way to say, you don't have to trust that the money in your Evento wallet is in your hands. You can see it for yourself, right? So that's, you know, that's the motivation for that. And then, of course, you know, building the Lightning Pact protocol, really important to make it open source because we want to see lots of people building on it. We want to see lots of people improving it. You know, people take these things in such crazy directions we would have never thought of. So it's a contribution, right, to everyone. You know, you have to give back, especially if you're building software, especially if you're benefiting, let's say, from Bitcoin, which is open source. You're benefiting from it, and yet you're not giving back, right? That's an issue.
Yeah, and you know, maybe now is a good time to shift a little bit to Hack for Freedom. Can you tell us a little bit about the format, duration?
Yes. So we, because we're trying to find developers that have not interacted much with Bitcoin, you know, we're finding girls from the Web3 communities, crypto, different universities with, you know, CS programs. We couldn't just do a hackathon where we're like, here's the premise, this is what you have to build, go, right? And we didn't also just want to make it a hackathon. We wanted to make it like a, you know, jumping point for people to actually work in the space. And so there's a lot more than just, you know, technical instruction. There's also career advice, like so many different types of workshops. There's understanding why you would even build in Bitcoin, seeing other women around the world who are founders, who are developers, who are doing amazing things for people everywhere. So the structure is that it's a 2-week hybrid hackathon, and we have a kickoff day where everyone meets, forms their teams. There's some talks that are inspirational about, you know, Bitcoin and why we're all here and what the goal is, which essentially is to contribute to open source tech, but more specifically to build solutions for women in very tough environments, right? Which is the environments that they actually live in. I'm not going to be able to build a solution for a woman in Nigeria because I do not know what that experience is like. However, I can empower those women to build the solutions for themselves with this platform. So all of the speakers, all of the mentors, they give their time to this project because they also see this gap and they also want to do something about it. And this is a way for them to contribute, which is awesome. So the girls are getting daily, you know, workshops, daily mentorship sessions, daily talks from some of the best in the industry all around the world. And I think it's really powerful for them to see that there are people who are giving their time to them, right? And oftentimes women in these places are not given that time. They're not given that opportunity. And so it means a lot. It means a lot more that there's folks from all over the world contributing. And we hold their hands throughout the whole process. Incredible developers as mentors who give them feedback on everything and help them actually build these products. For the upcoming ones, we're going to have a really big focus on building with AI because it really levels the playing field for a lot of people to actually contribute to open source. So yeah, so it's 2 weeks hybrid, lots of virtual talks and then in-person mentorship sessions. And then we have a final in-person demo day. We help provide resources or connect them to people in the industry. So helping them through that process, because a lot of them just don't even know, like, how do you apply for a grant? Like, what do I have to do to get there? Who do I even talk to? Right? Are they? And so introducing them to everyone and legitimizing them is really important, too. And so we continue to work with them to help them throughout their Bitcoin journey afterwards.
And my head's spinning with excitement, but I'm also thinking, It's like, you know, even finding women developers, whether they're Web3 or whatever in the global South is challenging enough. But it feels like when you said the AI, I mean, the vibe coding and the, you know, and how the tools have evolved so quickly in the last several months, even now you can just open this up to anybody that has an idea and help them start a business. So it just creates, I think that's one of the things that has held women back. I mean, what I hear is they don't feel technical enough, even in understanding Bitcoin, to purchase it. I mean, obviously you don't need that, but contributing to it, it's like if you have a skill set as business development or a creative side or any of the other talents that a business needs, you're reluctant to get into something that's super technical, AI included. But this just really opens it up where women with a good idea can participate in your program. And so how do you kind of bridge that gap about why Bitcoin when you're reaching these people that have different backgrounds or that confuse Bitcoin with all the other cryptos? And I know, I mean, I'm in Mexico City, and I know that's one of the biggest hurdles we face is that people feel that Bitcoin has already accelerate it and that there are better opportunities mm-hmm. for them to work in either from either to invest in another quote unquote token or to participate in a protocol that is growing or that has quote unquote more flexibility or moves faster. How do you bridge that gap when, especially in that environment where that I think tends to dominate?
The first thing, and this is how I talk about Bitcoin to everyone, is not from a price perspective, an investment perspective, a store value, any of that stuff, because although, you know, it is a deflationary asset, which is awesome and makes it cooler and makes it great for people who live in places where their currencies are debased and, you know, become essentially worthless. That's awesome. And that's a great value proposition. I present Bitcoin to these women very specifically as something that can help the people that they love around them, right? As a tool for them, as, you know, if you work in this industry, you can earn Bitcoin. That's how you can get it. And then you can actually create wealth for you and your family, but you can also like now transact with everyone around the world and you can create so many different opportunities for women around you, right? A lot of times, you know, in these places, women have a lot of barriers for opening their own bank accounts or for even owning any property. It's a huge problem around the world, something that we don't even realize like what that actually feels like. I mean, women couldn't have a bank account in the US until the late 70s. And a lot of the times they have to ask for permission from their fathers, their brothers, their spouse, their husbands, right, from a man. And then that adds another layer of friction. A lot of women around the world are in relationships where they're entirely powerless and their sole purpose is to make babies. This is a huge issue. And therefore, they have no freedom of choice in their own lives. And for me, what I say is when you have control over your own money, you have control over your life. This is how I present Bitcoin to them, right? They understand this at a fundamental level because this is their lived experience, right? You know, my program manager for Hack for Freedom, Sakina, who is like the reason all of this has happened in the first place, she lives in Nigeria. And when I first met her, she explained to me that, you know, up until a couple years ago, she couldn't have her own bank account without asking her husband to come with her to the bank. And that's crazy for me to think about. But that is the lived reality of many millions of people, many millions of women around the world. And so I present it in that vein. It really actually clicks for them, right? They say, oh, if Bitcoin is too expensive, well, just earn it. Work for a company that will pay you in Bitcoin. I pay my employees 100% Bitcoin, actually in Avento over Lightning. And they live in Nigeria, which is crazy. So, you know, for me, I say, look at this opportunity for you to, you know, actually change your future, create savings for you, which then opens the door for you to control your own life. I can teach you this so that you can then go out and earn Bitcoin instead of earning, you know, Naira, which is like so worthless. And it clicks. It totally clicks. We do explain the difference between, you know, other cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and the different value propositions and the reason we do focus on Bitcoin only, which is because, you know, it is permissionless, it's decentralized, and it's not run by a single point of failure or humans. You know, we explain that cryptocurrencies, not Bitcoin, are like owning shares in a company, and that company is run by individuals who are often very selfishly motivated, whereas Bitcoin is run by thousands of different individuals around the world, and there's no like single point of failure or one person deciding what like the path looks like for Bitcoin, or even anyone deciding like how much do we actually issue. He explained that, you know, when someone does an ICO, oftentimes what happens is they'll create this token, they'll figure out, okay, we want 100 million of this token to exist, and we're going to give 50 million to our friends, and then we're going to hype it up, and then we're going to get a lot of very vulnerable people to buy into it, and then we're going to sell all of it and make $1 billion. And I explained that that's not possible with Bitcoin because there is no CEO of Bitcoin, and there is already a finite supply of 21 million Bitcoin, so you can't control the supply like you can with the US dollar or literally any other currency on the planet. And that clicks. It clicks for people a lot more in places where their currencies are horrible and very much controlled by the government. It's harder for people in the US to understand because they don't feel like they have this, you know, issue with money, even though inflation is absolutely insane here. It's just not even comparable to other places in the world.
Congratulations on everything you're building, Brianna. You're clearly mission driven, and it's very refreshing to kind of focus on these, you know, peer-to-peer value transfer aspects of Bitcoin. Because what gets a lot of the attention, of course, is, you know, kind of the institutional adoption now, the Wall Street and price appreciation components of Bitcoin, which are, you know, which are important to their own merit. But I mean, the first lens I saw Bitcoin through when I read the white paper was precisely everything you're kind of touching on, you know, we have a permissionless, borderless transfer of value, peer-to-peer transfer of value. And that opens up so many opportunities, and it kind of flies under the radar. Maybe that's a good thing in the kind of Trojan horse sense. But what does success look like for you in the next 2 to 3 years with both Evento and Hack for Freedom?
Man, I mean, for Hack for Freedom, I am hoping that all five of them run smoothly this year. It's not an easy task at all. The hardest part is, I mean, obviously a really hard part is getting funding for this. Oh my God, it's really tough. The second piece is finding women who can commit 2 weeks of their time to doing this and to actually want to be a part of it. So that's quite a lot of work. But I do hope that we can actually train 100 women this year, and maybe even more the next year and the next year after that. We'll see what happens. If we succeed this year, then it should be a no-brainer to keep doing it. I'm going to keep working on it until, you know, we have many, 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 many more female devs in the space. That's my goal. And then for Evento, I want to see every single Bitcoin community and event using it and benefiting from it. And I hope that thousands of people from around the world get to connect through Evento and get to build amazing things together through those events. I hope that there are many, many new Bitcoiners that are onboarded through Evento, and that we are the best first self-custodial experience. I hope that many communities can raise money without asking for permission. And, you know, I hope that there are even more meetups and more events that come out of it, because we've created such an accessible place for folks to meet up. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. We'll see. Just got to keep building.
Speaking of building, what advice would you give, Brianna, to other really anybody, but women in particular, are hesitant about taking that step and building something on their own?
So the first thing is stop doubting yourself. You know, I think women especially have quite a bit of imposter syndrome. Stop doubting yourself. If you have an amazing idea, just do it. Like, be as audacious as a man, right? And, you know, it's going to be really scary. And there have been many days where I've felt like giving up, where I just wanted to stop, where I was like, it's just easier to work for someone else. It's easier to work for a company. This is going to fail. No one's using it. You know, especially in the beginning, it's so hard. And it's really hard to figure out, like, what is the unique product that you're building? Like, what actual value are you bringing to people? So I think like staying through that first part of like self-doubt and fear of failure, that's how you get to the next point. Obviously, I have self-doubt all the time, but it becomes less and less and less over time as I keep failing and, you know, then getting back up again and trying again every single day. And so just like stick through that. If you're not technical, find someone who is that can help you. Learning from someone technical like every single day has really changed things for me. But there are like tons of developers out there who have the skills to build something cool, but you still need that face of the company. You still need the person with the vision. You need the person with the ideas, and you need the person who can talk about it and who can network while, you know, you have the folks that are building it alongside you. And so I think that's equally important. If you want to start a company in the Bitcoin space, go to conferences. Conferences are amazing because you get to meet those technical people who are looking for co-founders potentially, but you also get to really understand the ecosystem that you're building for and all of the different projects that exist. So I think conferences are really important. And if you've never like run a company before, I don't know, like try being a chief of staff. I learned a lot from doing that and from working for other CEOs very closely, because there's so much about a company that requires attention that like I would have never known about had I not worked as a chief of staff. You know, there's just so much that you have to deal with that really you can only learn by doing. But, you know, even with that, I still learn stuff every day. Another thing is pivot all the time. Like if you need to pivot, just do it. If you realize like, okay, this thing is not working. I was building for this type of user, but it's not actually clicking. And weirdly enough, this type of user is actually starting to use it, even though I didn't build it for them. So if you're seeing it go in that direction, go in that direction. Like it's okay. You're not wrong. Every single company does this because ultimately, you're trying to build the best solution, right, for whoever you're trying to build it for. And that can change. So be okay with changing and don't see it as a failure.
Well, we certainly appreciate the words of advice, Brianna, and the time as well. And we look forward to following both Evento and Hack for Freedom's journey. I'm sure a year from now, you'll have a lot more to share, or maybe sooner. And as a handoff, Brianna, where can people find more information about Evento, Hack for Freedom, if anyone's interested in getting involved in either of those projects, and how can they get in touch with you as well?
Yeah, so Evento's website is evento.so. You can start using it right away. You just need an email and everything's free. So just play around with it. Have fun. You can actually DM me on Evento. My username is BHD. So you can just search for me and send me a DM if you want to get involved, if you want to host an event, if you need help with anything, if you want a feature that doesn't exist, I'm here. You can just message me and I'll get back to you instantly. And then for Hack for Freedom, it's hackforfreedom.com. And, you know, we're always looking for sponsors, for mentors and speakers, and of course, for hackers. And all of those applications are on the website. All the information about the past winners are on the website. And like, we have great blog posts that show last year's hackathon. So yeah, all of that can be found there. And my X account is BRIIMHD. So you can follow me there. And then, yeah. So that's all my info.
Thank you so much, Brianna. This is a great conversation, very refreshing to have someone as other-centric as you are be a part of our conversations about building with Bitcoin, because I think it is important. It's like this is such a transformational protocol and technology, both for value and also for communication. We didn't have a chance to get into Nostr as deeply as I hope today too, but we'll follow that on another conversation, because I'm sure that we'd love to have you back and continue following your journey. So I really appreciate the time and all that
you
do.
Thank you so much. This was such an amazing conversation and you guys are awesome. I'm so happy that there are folks like you that are sharing these stories to a broader audience. So I really appreciate you bringing me on and making me a part of this.
Well, look forward to the next one, Brianna. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Build with Bitcoin. If you found it of value, please take a second to like, subscribe, or share. This helps the visibility and reach of our podcast so that more people are aware of the innovation happening in and around Bitcoin. It truly means a lot. I'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us at an event that Israel and I are hosting Meet to Tech Talks 2026, taking place from October 25th to the 27th at the exclusive Punta Mita Resort in Mexico. This will be an intimate gathering of 125 invite-only participants exploring how the future of capital is being shaped by the intersection of Bitcoin, artificial intelligence, and energy. To request an invite or for more information, visit mitatechtalks.com. We hope you'll join us. And thanks again for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.